The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is on, and we thank you for listening. Today, we're tackling polycystic ovary syndrome with guest expert Dr. Judy Barrero of the all-female obstetrician and gynecology women's group in Tampa, Florida. But we still have the music on. Thanks. But first, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with over 1,000 women during each of our last two events, and a combined 7,500 hours of education during these two symposia, is supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based healthcare safety net, making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The result? Better partnering with your existing doctor, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families through the immediate impact of direct with the expert health education. And again, I'd like to acknowledge the Tampa Bay Women's Newspaper, where you can read educational articles which I write, appearing in every issue. And this newspaper, the Tampa Bay Women's Newspaper, is free and can be found at over 3,000 Tampa Bay area locations, such as medical offices, health clubs, specialty organic grocery stores, hair and beauty salons. The articles are educational, informational, and resourceful. And Judy Barrero, Dr. Barrero, it's nice to have you back for another show.
Thank you very much.
And Dr. Judith Barrero completed her undergraduate studies at Le Moyne College in Syracuse, New York, where she graduated magna cum laude with a Bachelor of Science degree in biology. She then earned her medical degree at the State University of New York Upstate Medical College. That's in Syracuse, is that right?
That's correct.
And Dr. Barrero then completed her four-year obstetrics and gynecology residency training at Upstate, where she was chief resident in her final year. She was awarded the J.P. Ryan Medal for Outstanding Academic Achievement in the Sciences while at Le Moyne College and a winner of the Humanism and Excellence in Teaching Award while at Upstate. Dr. Barrero is a board-certified OBGYN who joined the women's group in Tampa in 2005. She's a member of the Hillsborough County Medical Association, the Florida Medical Association, and a fellow of the American Congress of Obstetrician Gynecologists. She moved to Florida 5 years ago, currently lives in Lutz with her husband and now three children, and her most recent addition is how many months old?
He's 3 months old.
3 months
Alexander
old.
Alexander William.
Great. Hi, Alexander.
He's listening.
Great to have you here, Judy, and great to have the kids and the whole family listening in today. And again, we're tackling a very interesting, what do you call it? Is it a, well, I guess it's called a disorder,
yeah.
Polycystic ovarian syndrome. And let's start with the beginning, at the beginning. What is polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS?
Well, this is a syndrome that is very important for women to know and know something about because it is, depending on how you define it and how you diagnose it and which criteria you use, it's as common as 7% of all reproductive age women actually have PCOS, as it is abbreviated. It's the characteristics of it, the hallmark of it.
Before we go there, I'll bet you a lot of women in the reproductive age don't even realize they have it.
That's absolutely correct. And a lot of it, a lot of the problem stems from the fact that a lot of women just deal with the problems associated with it in non-medical ways.
Well, let's go into what the clinical manifestations are and why is it so important for people to get a diagnosis if they indeed have this disorder.
Sure. The clinical symptoms. Now, again, what I would like to point out actually before we go into all of this is no one woman needs to have all of these clinical manifestations in order to have PCOS. And I think that's important. You don't have to have meet all the criteria that we typically see in women with this disorder. But the common things that we often see are certainly irregularities with the menstrual cycle. So the periods are either irregular or altogether absent in many women with PCOS.
Can they be heavy?
They can. It's rare. It's much more common to have it go the other way,
okay,
where they don't see a period for 1 or 2 months at a time. And some women, even 6 months or a whole year goes by without a period. But it can definitely be menorrhagia, meaning too heavy, too much bleeding. The other common thing would be inability to get pregnant. So infertility is definitely one of the hallmarks of PCOS. And that's usually, honestly, between the abnormal bleeding and the inability to conceive, that's really when we see these women, when they really present to the doctor, because at that point they figure something must be wrong.
So those patients come to you regularly because they want to start a family. So the women that may fall through the cracks are the ones who particularly are not interested in having a family, so they won't seek attention if they have irregular periods and are not fertile.
That's exactly right. So
what are some of the other symptoms?
Right. So some of the other things that also will bring women in, or at least have them seek some help for, is excessive unwanted hair growth. We're talking excessive hair in places where no woman wants hair. So the face, particularly the upper lip and chin, the chest between the breasts, also in the lower abdomen, and the inner thighs are usually the places where you get increased hair growth. Now, interestingly, in cases of really severe PCOS, you can actually get more like male pattern balding. The voice can become deeper, so there's actually it can also go the other way when it's very severe.
Okay, so there's a excess hair growth. Also, can get acne.
Correct, acne as well, and just oily skin and acne.
I know
is
you
part
can. I can also share with you that you can get a type of dry eye called meibomian gland dysfunction due to the sebaceous glands in the lid that secretes oil for the tear film. The patients can complain about that.
Interesting. Okay.
And so in these cases where you have facial hair, suggestive of the man, and acne and so forth, that leads to the abnormal elevation in.
Well, so that's where you end up with too much, very high levels of insulin, and very high levels of male sex hormones, and then these in turn then have a whole array of both clinical and physical manifestations as well. The other, so just to tackle those separately, so it's the problem with the too much of the male hormone that causes the acne and the unwanted hair, but it also is responsible for the difficulties achieving pregnancy and the irregular bleeding. And then the other problem of PCOS is the elevated insulin levels that are circulating in the blood. Too much insulin is what's then associated with increase weight. So many of the PCOS women are also obese, although obesity is not present in every single woman. In fact, about 20% of women with PCOS have normal weight. The other thing is that these women with elevated levels of insulin in their blood have a really hard time losing weight. So these women with PCOS, even though they may exercise and really try to restrict their caloric intake, it's really very difficult and challenging to lose weight because of the insulin.
So they have like a resistance, so-called mm-hmm. insulin resistance. So the tissue's not responding to the insulin, so the pancreas puts out more insulin.
Right. So it becomes a vicious cycle.
Why is that? Why do we know why there's insulin resistance in these patients?
The true underlying etiology or reason for PCOS is unknown at this time. We have we know what the effects of too much insulin are. We know what the effects of elevated sex, the male sex hormones are in the body and how they affect the body, but we don't really understand why. Why does it happen? Why do some women have PCOS and others don't?
And how about, as another finding, acanthosis nigricans?
Sure. That's one of the physical signs of elevated levels of insulin in the body. So what happens are an insulin resistance, therefore. This is where the physical exam is very important in the diagnosis of PCOS, because we can see acanthosis nigricans is where you have these patches of skin, usually the back of the neck, under the breast is very common to see them, in the axilla, so in the underarm region. And they're hyperpigmented, meaning they're much darker than the rest of your skin. And they have a velvety feel to it, kind of like moss. It's very striking when you see it.
But ultimately, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. the most, I guess, critical aspect of this disease is if undiagnosed and unchecked, it could lead to hypertension, type 2 diabetes, correct?
That's right.
With increased risk of stroke, heart attack?
Mm-hmm. Now, there's no great study to show a direct effect from one to the other, but we definitely know that elevated levels of insulin will cause increased risk, obviously, of diabetes. Also, the hypertension has been shown, and also hyperlipidemia, so high cholesterol, which again then can long-term lead to things like stroke and heart disease.
Okay. On the line is Jakinia. Jakinia from Tampa. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Hello.
Hi there. Now you're a patient, Dr. Barreros.
Yes.
Okay. And do you have polycystic ovary, or you've been managing this situation?
Yes, but I still have questions. Like she was saying, a lot of things that have to do with the excessive hair growth that you have, and I just wanted to know, like, what can be done about that.
Okay. I tell you what, before we go there, if I can, Jakinia, mm-hmm. Are you able to share with us, are you in your 20s, 30s, 40s?
Am I what? I'm sorry.
How old are you?
33.
And how long have you had this diagnosis?
Before I to her, so probably about 7 years or so. And I mean, just kind of all the things that she's been talking about with the hair growth, problems with infertility, and being obese, and just like a classic case of all of that stuff.
And when you went to Dr. Barrero, did you go because you're interested in starting a family, or were there other reasons why you went?
After when I met her, it was like after I had been kind of other places, I had already had like 3 miscarriages, which okay. A lot of times it was more focused on, even though I had a diagnosis of PCOS, it was more of a focus on diabetes being the cause of it, which, I was just interested in knowing how to get that under control, because as I've been told, like the diabetes is, even though, the PCOS can cause symptoms with your insulin
right.
and resistance. So I just needed to know, like, when I went to her, is it only the diabetes? What I needed to do to control the PCOS also in order to try to start a family?
So, Judy, is it unusual? I mean, now, in this case, Jukini had three miscarriages. So, is that unusual for a PCOS patient to actually get pregnant?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, most of many PCOS patients don't get to the pregnant state to begin with. And then some of the comorbidities like diabetes then make it a more higher risk pregnancy. And certainly we see, you know, gestational diabetes, even in women who have not been diagnosed with diabetes prior to the pregnancy. That's definitely more common for them to develop diabetes during pregnancy. Also associated with premature labor and things like that. Mm-hmm. But in Jukini's case, she did achieve pregnancy previously, but then subsequently had miscarriages.
At what point, Jukini, was a diagnosis made? Was it made before before you got pregnant or after? Where along this
time? I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. It had been, like I said, made before, but it's just that no one really focused on. They weren't really giving me answers, which is why I came to her.
All right. So you knew you had the polycystic ovary before, but you were successfully able to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Okay, and then so the task becomes in the setting of polycystic ovary, and here's a woman who can get pregnant. How to go ahead and have a successful outcome?
Exactly.
Okay, and so take us from there, Judy, when you first met Jukini.
So the key here is to how do we optimize both her, not just her ability to get pregnant, but her ability to remain pregnant. How do we get Jukini and any woman in her situation basically the healthiest possible? So preconception. Is really the key here is to optimize your health before you even try to get pregnant. And there we're talking, what are all the different things that we can do to make you healthy before you're pregnant? So, for example, tackling obesity, that's certainly one of the first steps to improving your ability to get pregnant plus stay pregnant.
Let's tackle these one by one. Okay. And Jukini, jump in here with a question if you have. So with obesity, in the setting of the insulin-resistant patient with polycystic ovary, what are the tips you can offer?
Okay, so the first is the sort of the obvious things, okay? So you calorie restriction.
Are there certain types of diets that you recommend?
There have not been any good studies to show that there's any one diet that's better than another for women with PCOS. The key is calorie restriction. So it's not the high protein, low carb specifically. It's not any one diet.
Glycemic index issues?
Right. The key, again, in all the studies has been just calorie restriction, just losing the weight. Exercise is also critically important. Women should exercise daily with PCOS at least 30 minutes.
30 minutes every day.
Every single day. That makes a huge difference. Both losing the weight and exercising both have a tremendous impact on insulin and insulin resistance. So many times that is enough to normalize the menstrual cycle and have ovulation recur. So, and we're not talking necessarily huge amounts of weight loss being necessary. There have been studies that have shown that just decreasing 5% of your weight will make a huge improvement, and many women will then start to spontaneously menstruate on a monthly, basis, and we can actually show that they start to ovulate.
Okay.
So that is, one of the key components that patients have control over.
And when you reduce the weight, then that helps reduce the other symptoms of PCOS, correct?
Correct. Now, certainly the cycles become more regular. There's ovulation, so you're more likely to become pregnant with it. Now, the hair, the unwanted hair is a big problem. The problem with hair is that it has a life cycle, and once you turn a villous hair, so once you turn a little fine baby hair into an adult hair, a thick, coarse, pigmented hair, there's no going back. So that hair is there pretty much to stay. So the you can stop it yourself from getting more hair, so turning more of the baby fine hair into adult hair. But
how do you do that?
Okay, so one way to do that is again the weight loss. So if you decrease your androgen production levels, then that will take care of it as well.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break and be right back with more. We're going to tackle this as soon as we get right back on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Hang in there, Jakenia.
Okay.
Oh, Mr. Franklin, I just love how you held that kite string and discovered electricity.
Oh, that old story. The kite string, the metal key, the thunderstorm, the electrocution. Now if you want something really electric, try my Ben Franklin Double Mint Tea. Intensely minty with spearmint and peppermint.
At Tea Party Tea Company, history is as important as health. That's why when you purchase any of their 15 organic teas, you help American youth learn more about our heritage. Learn more at teapartyteacompany.com.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Their mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit FocusOnFemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702. Thank you.
For the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. He has written a best-selling, award-winning book, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome, published by Yale University Press. Dr. Maskin manages dry eye disorders using, when needed, innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has successfully managed difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He has been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2010. And as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America, we hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please visit drmaskin.com. And if you have not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Yes, welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Today, an interesting topic, polycystic ovarian syndrome. And so if you are in the reproductive age, if you are overweight, if you have irregular periods, if you have acne, hair growth, or even some of these symptoms or observations, you may want to call in and ask a question or so of our expert today, Dr. Judy Barrero of the Women's Group. The phone number to call is 289-1860. That's in Hillsborough County. Outside of Hillsborough County, it's toll-free, 877-969-8600. Great opportunity to ask a question here about this Very important disorder to recognize because, as we mentioned, it can lead to diabetes, high blood pressure, possibility of stroke or heart attack if left unrecognized. Mm-hmm. And so on the line is Jakinia. Jakinia, are you still with us?
Yes.
Jakinia is from Tampa, and we've been discussing the situation here. Now, we talked about how to maximize the ability to have a complete pregnancy going to completion, and we talked about how the steps to take, so to speak. And Dr. Barrera was talking about, number one, weight control and ways to reach weight control with calorie reduction, exercise. And we start talking about some medication.
Mm-hmm, that's right. So one of the problems, like we talked about with PCOS, is elevated levels of insulin floating around in the bloodstream. So one of the medications that has been extremely helpful for women with PCOS is something called metformin. Now, this is an insulin-sensitizing medication. So if we think about, all this, the pancreas producing all this insulin that's floating around in the bloodstream, but the cells are unable, due to resistance, they're unable to bring in that insulin into the cell where it can then be utilized to process sugar, then by giving this insulin-sensitizing medication, now the cells can bring in that insulin, which means less insulin floating around in the bloodstream. And that lowering of that insulin, again, makes a big impact in a woman's health and reproductive ability as well. The other sort of...
So let me make a point here. So what happens is there's less insulin circulating to affect the adipocytes, the fat storage cells, because you're taking the insulin and it's being used more effectively, so it's reducing the amount of insulin being produced by the pancreas.
That's right. That's exactly right. So you break that cycle of the cells giving signals that there's not enough insulin, so the pancreas crank out more insulin, but then the cells still can't use the insulin that's circulating, and you break that cycle by giving this insulin-sensitizing agent, metformin. Now, metformin is a very well-tolerated medication with very few and typically mild side effects. So the side effects of metformin have to do with GI distress kind of stuff. So nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. One very desirable side effect is anorexia, meaning decreased appetite. So it actually helps women with PCOS lose weight. So metformin is one of the medications that will help on a lot of different levels.
And as you mentioned, it's now available in a slow-release form, so it would reduce the incidence of the side effects, perhaps.
Right. The less desirable side effects are reduced by this. And it's also usually titrated, so it's something we would start at a lower dose and then little by little increase it and in divided doses to try to minimize some of the less desirable side effects.
And I think you mentioned, too, that metformin can also induce ovulation.
Right. So the way that it does not induce ovulation, but again, by reducing the circulating levels of insulin, that will then be able to allow the follicle, the normal flow of the follicle. So if you think about it, every month the ovaries get ready for a baby, okay, for ovulation to take place and for fertilization to happen. So you make a little follicle that the egg is inside. The follicle, you can think of it as like a little water sac. And the egg is in there, this little follicle cell start to produce estrogen. So the estrogen levels start to go up. Then the signal comes for ovulation. So the egg pops out. And then those follicle cells now start to produce not just estrogen, but progesterone. Progesterone is the hormone that primes the lining of the uterus to allow for implantation. When you have too much insulin and when you have which then lead to too much male hormone levels, then those male hormones block the process, the normal process. So what happens is you have the little egg, you make your little follicle, so you have the little sac of fluid. Those cells start making the estrogen. Great, so far so good. But then it's blocked. The process of ovulation, of actually releasing that egg from the sac, is blocked by the male hormones.
And so this is very interesting. So then the metformin, by reducing the excess insulin, can effectively reduce the amount of androgen produced by the ovary, perhaps.
And actually in the circulating levels, because one of the things that high levels of insulin in the blood also inhibit these molecules called sex hormone binding globulins. Now, these are the things that actually grab free testosterone. So the male hormone that's floating around, these binding globulins will actually grab it, bind it up, and make it inactive. So if there's too much insulin, that causes fewer of these grabbing compounds, if you will, which then leads to more free testosterone to wreak havoc and block ovulation.
And here's my next question. I'm thinking about you, Jakinia. Are you there?
Yes, I'm
okay,
here.
I'm thinking about you now. Is the metformin, or can the metformin, by reducing the androgen production by the ovary, lead to less hair growth?
It can. It's not FDA approved, obviously, for any of these things. It's FDA approved for treatment of diabetes, okay? But as a secondary effect, again, by lowering the levels of male hormones, male sex hormones floating around, then yes, you will decrease the hair production. Now, there is a topical medication, so a cream that is, in fact, FDA approved for abnormal hair growth in women. Okay, so this is called eflornithine. It inhibits a particular enzyme, but really what it's been shown to do is increase hair growth in women.
Increase?
It's shown to decrease. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. All right.
Decrease hair growth. No, nobody wants more hair. Definitely not. But it's not a magic cream. That's the main thing, though, that I want to get out, is that, yes, it will help. You will see improvement. About 60% of women will say, I had a great result with this. They would be considered a success. But again, it's not a magic bullet.
How do you spell this? This
eflornithine, eflornithine. It's called, the brand name is Vaniqua.
Okay. And we're going to take a quick break and come back with more on what we can do to reduce the excessive hair growth in patients with polycystic ovary disease. Be right back on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
With SRN News, I am Michael Harrington in Washington. The U.S. and British governments are warning their citizens to be careful while traveling these days amid concerns that terrorists may be plotting attacks in Europe. Britain says there's a high risk of terrorism in Germany and France specifically. Syria says it wants Turkey to mediate any new indirect peace talks with Israel. The comments by Syria's foreign minister come as the Obama administration presses Damascus to resume peace talks with Israel. One man has been arrested in a deadly armored truck holdup in Florida, but the FBI says at least two others are still at large. A Brinks security guard was shot and killed Friday as he carried cash from a bank in Miramar yesterday. And Rutgers University is to hold a silent vigil tonight for an 18-year-old student who committed suicide after a private encounter was secretly streamed online. Rutgers says the vigil will be an opportunity to reaffirm the commitment to values. This is SRN News.
We know that Republicans are in favor of extending the Bush tax cuts for everyone.
House Republicans will stand united.
But did you know that 31 House Democrats are challenging Speaker Nancy Pelosi to change her mind and extend tax cuts for all?
The Speaker allows an up or down vote. I'm confident that the American people will not see increases in their taxes.
Now, more than ever, is Speaker Pelosi prepared to raise taxes and risk losing her gavel?
I'm not yielding one grain of sand.
Talk Radio 860. WGUL.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. In this very important election year, where can you go to get fresh, intelligent, conservative reporting on the issues and the candidates? Whether it's the economy, the Supreme Court, or immigration, Town Hall Magazine is loaded with stories and insights you can't get anywhere else. And with your subscription, you can choose your own free gift book. Choose from Dick Morris's Take Back America, Karl Rove's Courage and Consequence, Michelle Malkin's latest book, and more. Pick your free gift book when you subscribe to Town Hall Magazine. Must reading for conservatives. Log on to townhallmagazine.com today. That's townhallmagazine.com.
The 2010 Clearwater Film Festival is here, September 29th through October 3rd. Bring the whole family for Hollywood-style entertainment. Learn the film business with industry pros. Over 100 hours of movies, short films, documentaries, and animation at Capitol Theater, Largo Cultural Center, St. Petersburg College, and the Clearwater Cinema Cafe. Plus, the Friday Night Bash on Clearwater Beach. For ticket and event information, go to theclearwaterfilmfestival.com. That's four words, theclearwaterfilmfestival.com.
Here's your exclusive AccuWeather forecast.
Partly sunny this afternoon with a high of 87. Clear tonight, low 63. Partly sunny tomorrow, the high 86. Partly sunny and pleasant Tuesday with a high of 84. On Wednesday, partly sunny skies, another nice afternoon, the high 85. And on Thursday, plenty of sunshine, the high reaching 86 degrees. That's your AccuWeather forecast. I'm Kerry Schwindenhammer for Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Today we're discussing polycystic ovary syndrome with guest expert Dr. Judy Barrero from the Women's Group, an all-female OBGYN group here in Tampa. And the number to call in with your questions is, in Hillsborough County, 289-1860. That's 289-1860. Outside of Hillsborough County, if you're streaming this live on the internet, toll-free, 877-969-8600. That's 877-969-8600. And we are talking about, the hair growth that we sometimes see in patients with polycystic ovary syndrome. And we're talking about ways to address that. And, Julie, you mentioned eflornithine as a topical agent that can be used. And would you review other options such as medications, oral medications as well?
Sure. Especially in women who are not looking to conceive at this point in time, there's a lot more options than for those women. So certainly the number one treatment option for all women with PCOS who are not trying to get pregnant is combination birth control pills. Estrogen and progesterone combination pills are great because they have a lot of effects. Initially, they certainly decrease the male hormone levels. They increase that sex hormone binding globulin that we discussed a little bit earlier that sort of binds up and inactivates the floating testosterone and other male sex hormone that are floating around in the bloodstream, and all of this will lead to decreased hair growth as well. Now, one thing that we often do is if that's not enough with the hair growth especially, we can add, as you said, spironolactone, which is a diuretic that can be used. The way that works is it actually blocks the male sex hormone receptors. So now the hormone can bind to its receptor and can have the desired effect, meaning hair growth and all the acne and all the other things that we talked about. The caution with that is the potassium levels need to be checked in women who are started on this because it can cause increased levels of potassium. And especially we have to be careful when women are already on certain birth control pills that are known to also potentially cause increased levels of potassium like Yasmin and Yaz because of the kind of progesterone that they have, drosperinone, as a progesterone can have similar effects as spironolactone.
Jekinia?
Yes.
Okay, have you, you've been listening to the conversation here, have you had a chance to try the metformin or some of the other therapies that we've been discussing?
I tried metformin in the past. That was like, that was long before, though, like when I first got diagnosed with it years ago. And I have been on it, but I haven't been back on it. Like I say, you know, other doctors have focused more so on different types of treatment, more so for the diabetes. So
right.
They switched the medication, even had me on insulin and things like that and different pills. So I was on the metformin before, years ago, but then they focused more so on the diabetes itself. And put me on different medications, like I'm on Amaryl now.
And I'm sorry, do you know what is Amaryl for?
Diabetes.
I've got a question. Judy, being that metformin is an insulin sensitizer, makes the body respond better to insulin, if Jekinia is taking insulin but her cells are not responding to it, can one take both the metformin and the insulin together?
It's possible to go ahead and optimize it, but I think in her particular case, with the current medication that she's on, that's working well for her. So we wouldn't necessarily want to add another medication at this point. And I know that her Jakinia's main issue and question to us had to do with the hair and how to get rid of the already existing hair. So for that, the best sort of cosmetic and mechanical way of removing hair that has already appeared is laser hair removal as a more permanent solution. Now, interestingly, they have done some really good studies lately showing that if you combine actually the eflornithine with laser hair removal, you get better results than just hair removal alone, and certainly than just eflornithine in and of itself. So I think for Jakinia, if she wanted to try sort of, you know, what is the best approach to get rid of the existing hair, it would be the combination of those two. The eflornithine is a cream that you put on twice a day over the, you know, the areas of concern. And then you would go to a laser hair removal place and then have it removed. Having said that, you can't just do that and think that if you don't control it with either the birth control pills, you know, you keep on top of the diabetes. If you're not in control of your PCOS in other ways, then other hairs are simply going to then go from villas to the adult. And
So you have to stop the process of the conversion between the villus hair to the adult, more masculinized type hair, if you, and then deal with the existing hair that's been transformed already.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Jakinia, and let me just interrupt and just say, Michelle, I know you're there on the line. We're going to come right to you in a few minutes here. Hang in there. Jakinia, would you like to ask a follow-up question? Does that sound reasonable for you to consider the laser approach with the eflornithine?
Yeah. The laser approach, I guess that would be good. I wish it was covered by insurance, but, you know.
How about now, have you tried the eflornithine?
I would be willing to try that. I'm not currently on that, but I would be willing to try like the cream.
Mm-hmm. How's that work,
like that,
by the way? I was just asking Dr. Barrera, how does the eflornithine work? I know it's twice a day, but is it known how it affects the hair?
I believe that it actually inhibits just the transformation of villus hair to...
Okay, so doesn't it really help the existing?
Supposedly, it may cause some of those to fall off as well. It helps to destroy some of the hair follicle itself, supposedly without injuring any of the normal tissue around it, kind of like the laser.
Okay, so that's one possibility for you. Jakinia, do you have any other questions that we haven't covered, Jakinia, in today's discussion so far?
Not really. I mean, so basically with the PCOS, it's like once you're diagnosed, I guess you just have it where you can treat it, but there isn't really like any complete, like you can't get rid of it, basically. There's no
cure. Is there a cure for it?
Treat the symptoms and what's going on.
That's right. It's something. It's a lifelong battle.
I've got a question. Are you still interested in getting and having a child, Jakinia?
Not right now. After going through a little bit, right now, not really.
Okay. Because I was going to say, Judy, if you would comment on the so-called laparoscopic ovarian procedure.
Mm-hmm. It's called ovarian drilling. That can be done, but that's to help fertility.
Yeah,
so that's it, right. So that's in women who want to get pregnant. Who have PCOS, that we've tried. We always try, obviously, the least invasive approach first. So there's some data to support doing ovarian drilling, where literally you go in and destroy some of these follicles.
How does that help? Are you reducing the amount of androgens being produced by some of these cells and therefore restoring it more normal metabolism?
That's the idea. Again, there's no really good grasp of, you know, why does this work? We do know that it tends to be a temporary solution. So it's not something that would be done and you'd think, okay, that ovary's not going to make follicles again. No, it will go back. But at least you can maximize your chances of fertility immediately after that procedure would be the time where then you would give probably an ovulation induction agent like clomiphene citrate, so Clomid, and sort of attack it from multiple sides.
And if you do the ovarian laparoscopic ovarian drilling, do you do both ovaries, both sides at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. Jacania, before we go to a break and move on to Michelle, is there any other last question you have?
No, thank you.
Well, listen, thanks for calling in today and have a great Sunday. And we'll speak to you later. Okay.
Thank
so
you,
long
Jacania.
Now. Okay. And Michelle, right after break, we'll come right to you. So this is Dr. Steve Maskin, and we'll be right back after a quick break. Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, 289-1860 in Hillsborough County, 289-1860. Outside of the county, it's 877-969-8600. Call now for your questions. Be right back.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Their mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702. Thank you.
Host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. He has written a best-selling, award-winning book, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome, published by Yale University Press. Dr. Maskin manages dry eye disorders using, when needed, innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has successfully managed difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He has been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2010. And as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America, we hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please visit drmaskin.com. And if you have not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860. And everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. And today we're tackling polycystic ovarian syndrome with guest expert Dr. Judy Barrero from the Women's Group and all-female OBGYN group here in Tampa. And on the line now is Michelle from Tampa. Michelle, welcome to the radio show today.
Yes, hello. Thank you.
Hi.
I was wondering, in families and how we, you know, understand that there are so many things that are hereditary, is PCOS, is that something that, like, women, like, if you have a sister that's diagnosed with it, that you would be more likely to have that in your family?
Good question, Judy.
That's an excellent question. There has not been an identified genetic contribution to PCOS, and there's no recommended genetic screening or test. There's also no environmental substance that's been identified as causing PCOS. But it's interesting because we do sort of anecdotally see it in families and see a lot of women who say, oh, yeah, you know, my sister also had a hard time getting pregnant and she's also overweight and has, you know, hair growth issues. So anecdotally, we see it grouped in families, but there's really no known genetic component to it.
I see. That's very interesting. Well, that was something that we were curious about. I have three sisters, and one has it. And
how old is your sister with it?
She's 30.
And the other sisters are how old?
26 and 24, but they're not trying to get pregnant. She's the only one that's trying to become pregnant.
When was she diagnosed, the one who's 30? How old was she?
I think it was about a year ago.
Okay. So you're wondering if the 24 and the 26 will eventually be diagnosed as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do the 24 and 26 have normal menstrual patterns right now?
As far as I know, it certainly is not something that, you know, we discussed over Sunday dinner, but they are not actively trying to become pregnant at this time. So we were just curious. It kind of led us to a little bit of a discussion.
Yeah. Well, that's quite understandable. Do you have a follow-up question for Dr. Barrero?
I don't think so. I think that was just what we were wondering at this time.
Well, great. But
thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for calling in, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Have a great day. Okay, well, it's 1:56 in the afternoon, and I've got a question. We really haven't touched much about other findings on more advanced testing. That is to say, besides the history and physical examination, what other tests are used to evaluate a person's chances of having PCOS? That is to say, to try and help make the diagnosis.
So one of the things is, what it's named after. So an ultrasound of the pelvis is almost always done. And here we're looking for a very classic look to the ovaries. They tend to have many follicles, certainly more than 10 follicles, not cysts. So they have to be 1 centimeter or less in size. And there, you know, if you open up an ultrasound book, you'll see it described as a string of pearls appearance. So it, when you see the ovary in cross section, it actually appears to have to be a whole ring of little pearl-like structures all around, and those are the follicles.
However, as we were talking about before the show started, you don't need to have that to have PCOS. And I'm reminded of a young woman in my ophthalmology practice. Who has, you know, who's not having periods. She's in her, getting ready to go to college, not having periods, a little overweight, little acne, and but evidently on ultrasound, she doesn't have these classic findings. So how frequently can you have PCOS without the classic ultrasonography findings?
Oh, it's actually, I wouldn't say fairly frequent, because certainly the majority of women do have the ultrasonographic findings, but it is not necessary to make the diagnosis of PCOS. So it's a little bit of a misnomer, because you can have polycystic ovary syndrome without polycystic ovaries.
Yeah.
Correct. So in those cases, then we look to the other signs and symptoms. So you need to have increased androgen production, and you need to have menstrual irregularities without ovulating, without signs of ovulation. So you would base it on those two general factors rather than the ultrasound findings.
So what blood tests would you normally order for a woman like that?
One of the other things that we haven't touched upon is that we need to exclude other problems and other diagnoses that could sort of mimic some of the symptoms of PCOS. So really, the diagnosis of PCOS is much
seconds.
more okay